There's a new fear for women trying to escape abusive partners, digital domestic abuse. Abusers using smartphone apps connected to devices to stalk and monitor their victims, or worse. One abuser tracked a woman through car technology, controlling her windows, stopping and starting her car remotely. A survey from the National Network to End Domestic Violence found that 50% of victim service providers reported that offenders were using cell phone apps to stalk survivors. Another 41% reported that abusers use GPS tracking. Diana Fried is a researcher and PhD candidate specializing in digital security and privacy at Cornell Tech in New York City. So, Diana, how are you working with this?
So what we've done at Cornell Tech is, in collaboration with the mayor's office, we now run a tech clinic once a week in each of the five boroughs to see clients experiencing this problem. And we see about four clients a week, because that's the amount that we can handle in a day. But this is a constant problem that's getting increasingly more prevalent given the pervasiveness of digital technologies and, as you said, smart home devices.
What are they saying? What are the things they're seeing?
Well, we have a lot of intimate partner violence. And so what happens in these cases is that, because of the intimate nature of the relationship, the abuser has access to information about the victim. And when the abuser and the victim separate ways, if the person leaves, people are still being tracked and they can't fully escape. So people come in with us and will say, he is tracking me. He knows where I am. The person might know things that the survivor didn't tell him. And there's just this constant concern that someone knows information and is continuing to know information, and no one understands really how it's happening.
Well, why can't you just take the apps out? Why can't they just say, you know what, I'm not going to have an app to turn on my lights? We're reading in the New York Times about a woman whose husband is an engineer. He controls the lights, the thermostat, the music. But why? Why can't you just delete the app?
Well, in the cases of the home apps, if they're installed in a way where the abuser is already is the leader of the account or the head of the account, it doesn't allow the survivor to have access of control. So that's already installed in their homes. What we're seeing a lot of is that much of the surveillance that we see doesn't actually always occur through a spyware app. What happens is that quite often the abuser has set up some of the accounts on the person's phone. They might have bought the device for the survivor, and they are accessing information quite often through a shared family plan, through a shared iCloud account, but the person isn't necessarily aware that they're still sharing that information. Right. So a lot of the tracking that we're seeing is not actually a sophisticated situation. It's just the fact that there was a very intimate relationship at one point in time that allowed the abuser to have logon information, access to accounts, access to the physical device.
But we're also hearing from professionals that this is a kind of a warfare that can escalate, and women are even endangered if the abuser finds out that they are trying to disassemble this technology. This is tough.
It's extremely difficult. And so the way that we try to approach this is, we will identify, if we can, you know, the problem and figure out how this is happening. But then we do not advise to immediately remove an app or disable an account or log someone out if they're already logged into a device. What we try to do is have the person's safety plan with a case manager, a lawyer, and make a safe decision. So we could explain to them at the time what the abuser will know if they make a change to their technology.
This gets so frightening. Some abusers are using parenting apps, apps that were meant for checking in on children, to track survivors.
Yes, there are. We call that area of apps dual use apps. And so applications that have a legitimate use case, but then are misused in cases of intimate partner violence. And this extends to things like Find My Friends, to Google Maps, to normal applications that might also be
on the phone. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is when people come to see us, what we do is we have a protocol that we follow whereby we ask questions. We also developed a spyware scanning tool that we're able to scan phones and any type of tablets to see if both dual-use apps and spyware apps are on the devices. And then we manually go through the configurations on the phones to make sure that somebody didn't add their fingerprint or mm-hmm. that they didn't add themselves as a user on Google Maps or Find Friends or a parenting app, like you're saying.
Mm. Well, it gets particularly frightening, though, my point, when it's an app to track children because it's a reminder from an abuser to another parent, you know, perhaps the mother, I know where your children are because I have that tracking possibility. Do tech companies have some legal obligation here to make sure that their technology isn't being used by abusers?
So it's being misused by abusers, and I think everybody's working together to figure this out. The problem is that they're misusing everyday technology, and the same things might happen with social media. So we have made companies aware of these types of ways, and people are working on it together, and it's becoming much more evident as this problem grows.
Well, we know the law is trying to keep up. There are some states have revenge porn laws. So if you get into somebody's devices and you can get pictures and tapes and things, you can't circulate them. But there's also a push now to get courts, when they do restraining orders, to include devices that people who have a restraining order against them aren't allowed to use shared home device accounts. But, you know, that's still an evolving legal world. It's unbelievable. What would you recommend, though, with what you know, what would you recommend to women the first thing to do if they think they are being stalked by an abuser through their technology?
Well, I think the first thing to do is to try to work with a professional, if possible, to figure out how they're accessing the information. So is it through maybe a shared email account, and perhaps to do a self-check on, did the person buy this device for you? Do they pay the bill and see where you are, what calls you're making? Have they at any time had access to your physical device, to a vehicle you might share? So really trying to think about what shared accounts the person has had and what type of way they might still be accessing it. And that's very difficult to do without really speaking to someone who might have a little more tech experience, but it's a starting point. And then if it's safe to do so, changing all the passwords, possibly changing an email, iCloud account. We have on our website questions that we ask when we are doing our intakes with survivors, and we make that all of our work publicly available.
Oh, that's great.
And this is an area, you know, that we're focusing on.
Well, that's terrific. We'll link people up to Cornell Tech again. Briefly, Diana, when you say people should contact a professional, how do you know? I mean, what are they called? You know,
it's an excellent question. And there's everything from going to the different types of phone stores, technology stores, but they're not always so sensitive to these cases of intimate partner violence because this is first becoming more prevalent and more awareness. And so they don't always know the socio-technical complexities. But if there is someone who's providing services that does have someone who might be more aware of the technology aspect of it, we are one of the few groups right now doing this work, but we're trying to create collaborations and build up awareness so that more people can provide services. But it's difficult. But I think looking at the obvious things such as the passwords, connected accounts, and seeing how they can disconnect is a first step.
That's Diana Fried, a researcher and PhD candidate at Cornell Tech. Diana, thank you so much. As we said, we'll link people up at hearandnow.org. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And by the way, that woman whose husband was raising and lowering her thermostat remotely tore it out of the wall. Hopefully she got it replaced. If you are a victim of abuse or being stalked in any way, we will link you to the National Domestic Violence Hotline at hearandnow.org.